ॐ नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पाधृतविग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमेड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि। यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहम्। प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृततुके नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमा अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। आश्चर्यवत् पश्यति कश्चिदेनम् आश्चर्यवद्वदति तथैव चान्यः। आश्चर्यवश्चैनम् अन्यशृणोति श्रुत्वाप्येनं वेद न चैव कश्चित्। भगवान् इज एक्सप्लेनिंग अबाउट दि सेल्फ नॉलेज दैट दि आत्मा हैपन टू बी द ग्रेटेस्ट वंडर इन द वर्ल्ड। It is very difficult to understand in its real nature, and it requires lot of maturity at the emotional personality. When a person comes to this Vedanta in order to understand his own real nature, at the student level, while hearing, he wonders, "Can I be the infinite entity about which this Vedanta is talking about?" With lot of shravana and manana, finally when he understands, he is considered to be a wise man, a jnani. That time also he wonders, "How can I miss myself so far?" Then when any person approaches him to receive this knowledge, when the jnani talks about it, then also there is a wonder, how can it be taught, because it is not available for any words, any thoughts, any concepts. And some people, in spite of their best effort, still fail to understand srutva api enam kachite na vede. So the atma happened to be wonder at all levels. In the last class we saw, wonder is a wonder, any wonder for that matter, is a wonder for a few moments. If you go to Kailash, or Manasarovar, or Badrinath, and you will find a beautiful ice mountain, naturally, we wonder. How much time you will wonder? One day we will wonder. If somebody asks us, since you are wondering about it, please stay here itself, we will go back. Then we will say, no, I cannot stay here. Wonder is a wonder for a moment only, all other wonders for that matter. But my nature, my Atma Swarupam, happened to be a continuous wonder. Why? Because since it is my nature, I love it unconditionally. I wonder it unconditionally. All other wonders are not my nature. Therefore, love towards myself is the highest love than any other thing. Therefore, it is conditional. This is the first interpretation given by Shankaracharya for this shloka. In the first interpretation, the meaning of aacharyam is subtle. It is the subtlest thing. Atma happened to be the subtlest thing. In the second interpretation, Atma Jnanam is a wonder. In the first interpretation, Atma is a wonder. In the second interpretation, Atma Jnanam is a wonder in the sense it is a rare entity. Yaha Ayam Atmanam Pashyati Saha Acharya Tulyaha. A Jnani is a wonderful person, very rare person. You cannot come across in bazaars. Somewhere else he is hiding, sea or town, but still he will hide his knowledge. Therefore, finding a person who has recognized his infinite nature happened to be a rare thing. Durlabho manusho degaha dehinam kshanabhanguraha tatrapi durlabham manye vaikunta priya darshanam. As human birth happened to be a rare thing, when you find millions of varieties of species in this creation, human birth happened to be a rare thing. In that human birth also, a human being who understood, who recognizes infinite nature, tatrapi durlabham manye vaikunta priya darshanam. A person who has completely dedicated his life to the Lord, a person who has identified himself with the infinite Lord, happened to be a rare person. Generally, a jnani is recognized by the society as a madman. All jnanis for that matter. Jadavatu, Unmattavatu, Pishachavatu. Either they brand him a person, a ignorant. Jada means ignorant person. Or Unmattavatu, as a madman. Or Pishachavatu. There are some jnanis who behaved in this society like Pishachas. Pishachas means a person who was haunted by a ghost. Very difficult to understand this jnani. Therefore, Atma Jnani happened to be a rare wonder person. He is an object of amazement for others. If you happen to get the chance to talk, 1 minute he will talk about himself as a limited being, the next minute he will jump as a infinite being. There is a story in Alexander's history. Alexander came to India to conquer India. His guru, Plato, told, "You are going to India, be careful. There are a lot of fakirs. And their wisdom is something marvelous. If you happen to find any one of them, kneel down before them and get the wisdom. If possible, you bring at least one person to our nation so that the entire nation will be benefited." While conquering India, one day, Alexander's army people telling, get away, Alexander the Great is coming. There was a jnani who was lying on the sand beach without any dress, like a child, putting one leg on the other, enjoying the sunshine. When he heard this voice, get away, get away, he opened his eyes and saw somebody was telling, get away, get away. So he did not respond. They were forcing him to get away. By the time Alexander came to that place, what is happening? They told like this, this fellow is not getting away. He is nude, no dress also. But he is not responding to our command. Then Alexander told, don't you know Alexander the Great? The jnani told, oh, is it so? Is it so? Entire world admires me and you are telling, is it so? You know my capacity? I can give punishment, capital punishment. I can kill you also. Then the jnani laughed. Laughingly he told, this is the greatest lie which you could tell. He cannot kill me. Really I can kill you? No, you cannot kill me. Aham achedyaha, adahyaha, akledyaha. One moment he was in body consciousness. Therefore only he could hear, get away word. Now he says, I am achedya, I am infinite. Nobody can cut me. I am akledyaha, ashochyaha. Then Alexander, when he heard this, what is this? This is the first man I saw in my life. For the first time, who doesn't have any fear of death, and that too in front of me? So he happened to be a wonder, an object of amazement ஏனம் ஆத்மானம் வததி சஹா ஆச்சரிய துல்யா. ஒன் அமங் மில்லியன்ஸ் ஒன்லி கேன் டீச் அபவுட் திஸ். வெரி ரேர் டு ஃபைண்ட் ஏ ஜானி ஹூ இஸ் ஸ்ரோத்ரிய பிரம்மனிஷ்டா. ஸ்ரோத்ரிய மீன் எ பர்சன் ஹூ ஹேஸ் கம் இன் தி ட்ரெடிஷன், ஹூ ஹேட் பீன் ஏ டிசைபிள், அண்ட் அட் தி சேம் டைம் பிரம்மனிஷ்டா, ஒன் ஹூ ஹேஸ் ரெக்கக்னைஸ்ட் இஸ் இன்ஃபினிட் நேச்சர். ஜென்ரலி வி கம் அக்ராஸ் மெனி மகாத்மாஸ், எய்தர் தே ஆர் பிரம்மனிஷ்டாஸ் ஆர் தே ஆர் ஸ்ரோத்ரியாஸ். ஃபைண்டிங் பீப்புள் ஹூ ஹேவ் போத் ஸ்ரோத்ரியா அண்ட் பிரம்மனிஷ்டா இஸ் வெரி வெரி ரேர் திங். த்ரீ டைப்ஸ் ஆஃப் குருஸ் ஆர் டிஸ்கிரைப்ட், உத்தம குருஹு, மத்தியம குருஹு அண்ட் அதம குரு. உத்தம குரு இஸ் எ பர்சன் ஹூ வாஸ் எ டிசைபிள் அண்ட் ஹூ லேர்ன் அபவுட் இஸ் இன்ஃபினிட் நேச்சர் அண்ட் ஹூ ரெக்கக்னைஸ்ட் அண்ட் எஸ்டாப்ளிஷ்ட் இன் இஸ் இன்ஃபினிட் நேச்சர். ஹீ நோஸ் ஹவு டு கன்வே திஸ் மெசேஜ். இந்த லாஸ்ட் கிளாஸ் வி சா இட் இஸ் வெரி டிஃபிகல்ட் டு கன்வே அபவுட் த இன்ஃபினிட்யூட் பிகாஸ் இட் இஸ் நாட் அவைலபிள் ஃபார் எனி வேர்ட்ஸ் ஆல்சோ. எத் சக்ஷுஷா ந பஷ்யதி ஏன சக்ஷுகும் ஸ்ரீ பஷ்யதி, என் மனசா ந மனுதே ஏன மனோஹோ மதம். வெரி டிஃபிகல்ட் டு கன்வே அபவுட் திஸ் ஆத்ம ஜானம் அன்லெஸ் ஹீ வாஸ் எ டிசைபிள், ஹீ டசன்ட் ஹாவ் த வேர்ட் ஹவு டு கன்வே இட். தென் ஆஃப்டர் கெய்னிங் திஸ் நாலேஜ், இஃப் ஹீ இஸ் நாட் எஸ்டாப்ளிஷ் இன் தட் இன்ஃபினிட்யூட், it happened to be an information, he cannot have conviction that I am that infinitude, I am that infinite entity about which I am talking to my disciple. So that person who happened to be a Shrotriya Brahmanishta is called Uttama Guru. Then second person is Madhyama Guru. He is not yet established in Brahmanishta, established in that infinitude, but he knows what Shastra talks about. He knows how to convey it, that's all. Others can get benefit. There is third category, Adhama Guru. Very carefully you have to understand, not Adhama Manushyaha, Adhama Guru. He doesn't know how to convey it, but he is established. He is established in that knowledge. Swami Vivekananda used to tell one story. There was a Sishya who was asking for initiation. Initiation means spiritual initiation. So the guru was telling, no, not necessary, I cannot initiate you, practice whatever I have told. But Shishya was go on insisting. One day, the guru thought, how to get away from this fellow? So he took one knife and cut the disciple's nose. Then disciple asked, what you are doing? I asked initiation. No, this is the initiation which I got from my guru. He was a robber. He was caught while stealing. People bet him, one fellow cut his nose. And without nose he cannot show his face. So therefore he retired to forest. After retiring to forest, he spent the entire life in the meditation of the Lord, and by the grace of the Lord, he has received that knowledge. Yoga Bhrashta they are called. So he doesn't know how to convey this, but he knows what he is talking about. That much only he knows. So from that person, society cannot have any guidance. That's why in many a place you can see Mahatmas who are really established in that knowledge, but they cannot teach to others. Therefore, aneka sahasreshu kashchit eva bhavati. A person who established in that knowledge and person who can convey that knowledge to the future generation will be one among millions. Because after establishment in that knowledge, all our wants, desires are gone away. There is no need for him to gain anything from this world. He doesn't have any desire for name, fame, nothing he has. But still, he has to talk to the disciple. What will be the force behind his action of talking or teaching? That is daya. That is why all the gurus are called ahetuka dayaluhu. You cannot find them in universities as lecturers. Even in ashramas, mathas, this type of systematic Vedantic study is not happening. Nowadays, many ashramas, if you go, full of melas will be there, lot of shops will be there, small small things which are necessary for puja articles we call. Lot of shops will be there, lot of social service activities will be going on, but there will not be any Vedantic teaching. Then, enam atmanam shunoti saha api aascharya tulyaha. First aascharya tulyaha is a jnani. Second aascharya tulyaha, a jnani who teaches about it, guru who, because all jnanis need not be a guru, but all gurus should be jnanis only. And third aascharya is about the student. Enam atmanam shrunoti saha api aascharya tulyaha. Getting student for this particular branch of science is a very very rare thing, because there is a entrance for this. Which type of entrance it is? No university can have this type of entrance. What is that? Sannyasa. Renunciation is the first. If you have sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, then only enter this place. Otherwise, it will not help you in gaining atma jnana. Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchit yatati siddhaye. Bhagavan is going to tell later in Gita. Manushyanam sahasreshu. If you arrange music party, people will come. Rock music, thousands of people will come. But if you say there will be a Gita teaching or Vedantic teaching or Upanishad teaching, like you, fortunate people only will be there. So manushyanam sahasreshu. How many people are in Bangalore? It is available free, no fees at all. One hour you get satsanga without any fees. But still, people are not available for this, because it is very difficult for a general ordinary person to get away, detached from the worldly desires. Unless a person has some samskara, some punya phala, he cannot come to this type of satsanga. Sri Ramakrishna used to tell, I was searching for a student, a qualified student like Narendra. For Narendra, he was waiting for long time, you know, 20-25 years he used to wait. After realizing, he used to go to the temple terrace and he used to shout, hey, where are you, my children, where are you? That time they might not have born at all. 25 years he cried for his proper disciples, the qualified disciples. He used to tell, there was a ghost. Whenever accident happened, the ghost used to go to that accident place, thinking that I will get one companion. Because anybody who dies out of accident becomes a ghost. If they don't remember the Lord at the time of death, generally they become ghosts. Like that scripture says. So Sri Ramakrishna used to say, I was like a ghost searching for a disciple. Whenever an accident happened, this ghost used to go there. And after that, what happened? His relatives do some rituals and they give freedom from that ghost body. So ghost doesn't get any one companion. Similarly, I was waiting for this Naren, he used to tell. Then durvijnayatvat enam atmanam shrutva api na kashchit na veda eva. Since it is the subtlest thing for a man to understand, understanding my own self is the difficult and subtlest thing. Bhagavan here says, even after hearing for years together or janmas together also, because of subtlety and because of non-qualification, sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, main qualification is vairagya. My bank balance should become mithya, my relatives should become dream relatives. That is the one criterion for all practical purpose. My bank balance should become dream money, and my relatives, including this body, should become dream body and dream relatives. When a person gets this maturity, then whatever the secret is revealed in the Vedanta, he understands. Therefore, Arjuna, if you don't understand, I am not going to blame you. I know it is a difficult thing. Very few only can understand this truth. Now, Bhagavan concludes the entire topic of Atma Anatma Vichara. Dehi Nityam Avadhyoyam Dehe Sarvasya Bharata Tasmat Sarvani Bhutani Natvam Shochitum Arhasi. Atma Anatma Vichara started from 12th shloka of this chapter is ended here. How it started? Panditaha na anushochanti. Wise men will never grieve over anything. Gadasun agadasunscha na anushochanti pandita. They will not have grief over living ones or dead and gone. That means they will not have grief at all. Now the conclusion also you see, sarvani bhutani natvam shochitu marhasi. You cannot have grief over anything in this creation. The knowledge to be acquired for the removal of grief is, in summary, this body is a mortal entity subject to disease, old age and death. And behind this body, which is mortal, behind this mortal body is the real person. General opinion about ourselves is, I am equal to body-mind complex. But Vedantic teaching is, this body-mind complex happened to be a fake personality. It is not a real personality. The real I is Satyavastu. I am Satyaha, an independent entity. Satyaha means an independent entity. I am not a part of body or product of this body or property of this body. And I am Nityaha, I am eternal one. After the destruction of this body also, I continue to exist. I am Sarvagataha, an all-pervasive one, not bound by limitations of the body. I am Nirvikaraha, I don't have modifications like old age, disease, death. I am Asangaha, modifications which are happening in the body doesn't affect me because I am all pervasive, therefore I am unattached. I am Aprameyaha, not available for any sense perceptions. I am behind all the sense perceptions, not available for any sense perception. And I am Akarta, I cannot do any action at all. All these revelations are just against our popular understanding about ourselves. Since I am not a Karta, since I cannot do any action, I cannot do either Papa or Punya Karma. And I am Abhoktaha, since I cannot do any Karma, I will not have Punya, Papa, Sukha, Dukkha, Marana, Janma. This is the real understanding about oneself. When we understand and assimilate these facts about ourselves, then there is no grief at all in life. Very far goal, no? For general mind, it is a goal which is very, very far away, looks far away, but still it is available very near to us. The person who has understood this reality about himself is a man of security, happiness and fulfillment. Gaining this knowledge is called God realization or self realization. Gaining this knowledge is the goal of all spiritual practices, and gaining this knowledge is the only solution for the complete elimination of grief. All other solutions remove grief for time being, then that very solution become a source of another grief. To remove your fever, you take antibiotic and finally end up with ulcer. Antibiotic removed your fever, but it created one more problem called ulcer. Any medicine, any solution given by this world is solution for a temporary period, but that very solution becomes a problem in future. If at all a person is interested, that is the question. Are you interested to get away? And Arjuna already told to Bhagavan, Abhi Trailokya Rajyasya Kinnu Mahi Krite. I am not at all interested, even if three worlds are given to me free. As Nachiketa told, Shobhava Matyasya Yadanta Kaitat Sarvendriyanam Jarayanti Tejaha Abhi Sarvam Jeevitam Alpameva. This entire worldly life has become alpa, petty thing for us. When a fortunate mind has this renunciation, then for him there is a need for a complete solution or elimination of sorrow. Then only here Bhagavan says, Hey Bharata, you have to understand this, your real nature, that is the only solution for the complete elimination. Hey Bharata, sarvasya dehe sitaha api, even though this atma is associated with this perishable body, ayam dehi nityam avadyaha. This atma is ever indestructible. The container is destructible. The cover is destructible, but the content which is inside the pack is indestructible. Because the container, the body happened to have limitation size-wise, time-wise. Whereas, ayam dehi nityaha. Sarva avasthasu nityaha. At all stages it is nityaha, avadyaha, niravayatvat. Shankaracharya writes beautifully. Niravayatvat. You can destroy a thing only when it has a form. Since there is no form at all, you cannot destroy it. This is the law with regard to all. Tasma sarvani bhutani uddishya natvam shochitu marhati. What is the law? The body is subject to destructible. I, the Atman who illumines the very body-mind complex, happen to be indestructible. Therefore, you can never grieve over anybody's death, anybody's old age, anybody's separation also. All our grief is because of this. Either you will have complaints about his disease, or about his old age, or about separation of some object, people, or people. So you cannot grieve over separation. But that does not mean you should not take care of them. So Bhagavan has told, in Satsanga it is told, so anyhow body is going to die. So why should I take care of my parents who are having lot of ailments? That is not the conclusion here. You can serve them or try to alleviate their suffering, but you should keep in mind this great knowledge as an information at least. It may not be a knowledge initially, as an information at least. I cannot go against the universal facts. What is that universal fact? Anything which has come to existence will go back to non-existent or unmanifest condition. Anything which has manifested will go back to unmanifest condition. With this knowledge, do your duty towards all people you relate, but without any grief or delusion. It is like helping a person who is suffering because of some road accident. What you will do? How much objectivity you will have? You will help him. Even you may take him to the hospital, but you will not have grief or sorrow or anxiety in your mind. But same accident happened to your own relatives or your own body, then how much grief is there? Externally both are same. External action of helping is same, but internally there is a difference. Because you know that person is not related to me. Therefore I need not bother about my duty as an individual, just I made him to get admitted in the hospital, that's all. That type of objectivity should be there in our life. So this topic started, Panditaha na anushochanti, and ends also, Natvam shochitu marhati. The entire Vedantic teaching is over now. Actually, for what purpose Bhagavan started this dialogue? Arjuna expressed his grief, inordinate grief, which cannot be solved by any other local means. Therefore, Bhagavan gave this Atmajnanam as the only solution, now Vedanta is over. But Arjuna is going to continue about his doubts and other things. Another 600 shlokas are there. We can enjoy. Because Arjuna happened to be one among us. We are not yet satisfied, na? Just because Vedanta told, you are Atma, you are Satya, you are Nitya, nothing happened. My problem is there, water problem is there, and electricity bill problem is there, room rent is there, of course the house problem is there, children are not getting educated properly, so many other problems are there. So not yet satisfied. Now, Arjuna may have an hypothetical objection. Bhagavan, since that hypothetical objection, what is that? Okay, Bhagavan, I accept that I am Atma. I accept Atma is Nityaha. My body is Anityaha. Just because my body is Anityaha, just because somebody's body is Anityaha, just because Bhishma's body is Anityaha, should I kill him? Atma is Nityaha. Bhishma's Atma is Nityaha. Bhishma's Anatma body is Anityaha. Should I kill Bhishma's body? Just because body is Anitya. And any criminal can say, after killing somebody, body is Anitya, therefore I did it. So it is misguiding. Why should I be responsible for the death of Bhishma's body? Let him have a natural death. Why should I harm his body? Because Dharma Shastra says, Ahimsa Paramo Dharmaha. Why should I harm others? Non-violence is the highest virtue. Why should I violate that virtue? Why should I kill Bhishma? Whether I kill his body or not, his body is going to die in time. Let him die in time. Let him have a natural death. Why should I kill him? Because here Bhagavan has concluded, fight. Therefore you fight like that, he has concluded. So answer for this question, hypothetical question is, I am not asking you to kill Bhishma just because his body is mortal. I am asking you to kill Bhishma because he has sided adharmic side. He is in the adharmic side. It is your swadharma to establish dharma. From this shloka onwards, we are going to see dharmika drishti. Up to the last shloka, we saw that from the standpoint of Atma and Anatma, war is not a sin. That is a question of Arjuna. So from the standpoint of Atma and Anatma, there is no question of killing somebody. Somebody is killed also. But from the standpoint of Dharma Adharma, Bhagavan is going to deal now. So dharma mapicha vekshe navikam pitum arhasi dharmyadhyuddha shreyonyate Kshatriyasyana vidyate. Even if you see this war from the standpoint of dharma, it is your duty to establish dharma in the society. You are a king, and Bhishma happened to be in the side of adharmic people, and ahimsa paramo dharmaha is a sadharana dharma. Sadharana dharma means a dharma which is for all, which is universal, which should be followed by all in the general context. One more thing is that swadharma, exceptions. There is an exceptional clause which is called swadharma. Sometimes this himsa api kadachit dharma. Himsa is generally adharma. Harming others is adharma only, it is a sinful act. But sometimes it is a dharma only. What are that condition? Himsa for the sake of dharma rakshana, not for personal gain, but to establish the values in the society. Himsa done by a kshatriya, not by a brahmana or vaishya or shudra, by a king, by a justice, by an army person. Kshatriya means a person who rules this country. By a king, and after failing in all other attempts, sama, dana, bheda, all the attempts are there. You try to convince that person, hey, it is not good, you are doing wrong. You try to convert that person as a good person. And you try to give some gift also to go in a dharmic way. That also has failed. And Bheda also, you are trying to remove all the other supporters from him. All these things happened with regard to this Mahabharata war. They tried to convince Duryodhana that it is not proper you are keeping our land. We have gone through all these 13 years of Vanavasa just because we have given word. And even if you are not ready to give entire nation, give at least 50% or at least 5 districts or at least 5 villages. Up to that level they tried. Then Bhagavan tried to remove Karna from that side, Bhishma from that side, Drona from that side. Bhagavan tried. But all of them are individually good, but collectively they have sided with the adharmic person. So when all these other attempts are failed and you don't have any other means than this danda, that is why in all our Hindu gods you can see they will have like this Vara, Abhaya, Asta, but two hands will be there backside. It will have Shankha and Chakra. Initially for devotees, Bhagavan is a person of giving protection. You surrender to me, I will protect you, I will give you wisdom, I will give you knowledge, I will give conducive atmosphere for your welfare. But when a person refuses to go by dharmic way, he has another two hands. Either Kodanda will be there or Chakra will be there, some weapon will be there. If the person is not available for Sama, Dana, Bheda, his Kodanda or arrow or Chakra will come to our neck. So that is why you are a Kshatriya and Dharma Rakshanam is your duty. Therefore, this Yuddham is Dharma Yuddham. And you have not gone for war. It is forced upon you. It is not an offensive war, it is a defensive war. So misplaced ahimsa is a papa karma. Generally ahimsa is punya karma. Himsa is papa karma. Here Bhagavan says, if it is misplaced, if ahimsa is misplaced, somebody comes and loots our house and misbehaves with our women, so this fellow says, I am following ahimsa. Ahimsa paramo dharmaha. We cannot call him as a man of virtue, we call him as a coward. He doesn't have capacity to defend himself. So in ahimsa there is a factor of ahimsa, in ahimsa there is a factor of himsa. In Ramayana, when Rama was roaming in Dandakaranya, all the rishis come to him asking protection, showing a mound of human bones, showing to Rama, see Rama, this is the condition, this is the atmosphere in which we are living. Nobody free from the Rakshasa, they are torturing us, so you have to protect us. You are a Kshatriya and we cannot protect ourselves, though we have power to protect. Basma bhava, if they say, they will become basma, but they are not ready to lose their tapas. That's why even Vishwamitra had to come to Dasharatha asking for Rama. He could have killed Tataka. Basma bhava. But he was not ready to lose, because they know, as a Brahmana, as a man of spiritual wisdom, I cannot do any harm. But it is the duty of the Kshatriya. Let us go and complain to a king, a Kshatriya. Then it is his duty to protect us. When these rishis took shelter upon him, Rama gave word with full of happiness, I thought I am going to waste these 14 years without doing anything, but now I have got a good opportunity to serve you all. Certainly I will destroy the entire Rakshasa species. When he gave this word, Sitaji, with full of compassion, so she told to Rama, "Are, Rakshasa did not do anything to us. Why you are against them? You are a Satya Sandha, you are a man of virtues, so many virtues are there, but you don't have ahimsa as a virtue. You can have this ahimsa also." Ahimsa means non-violence or not harming others. That time Rama told, "See, I practice ahimsa for the sake of others' welfare. It is not for personal thing, and I am a king, I am a kshatriya, it is my duty to protect, to sacrifice everything whatever I have for the protection of others. Apyaham jivitam jasyam vamva titesa lakshmanam natu pratignam samsutya brahmanebhyo visheshatah. I can never give up my word. I can never give up my swadharma, which happened to be a kshatriya dharma, wherein if you find that certain group is affecting the entire society, then he has to eliminate that particular individual or group. Therefore, in our culture, non-violence is given as a general dharma, as a samanya dharma, eternal value. And there is a vishesha dharma, we call exceptional dharmas, which according to the situation, according to the intention, it is considered as dharma only. Suppose army people who are protecting our border, when somebody terrorist comes inside, ahimsa paramo dharma, so we will allow you, please come, please come. If that person says he is unfit to be an army man, this ahimsa is allowed for a kshatriya only, and for the sake of welfare of the society, not for personal gain. And after attempting all other methods, still if he finds that person could not be converted as a good man, as a last result, this violence, this himsa is allowed. The complete non-violence preached by Buddhism or Jainism. Jainism and Buddhism preaches complete non-violence. And it was attempted by the Raja Ashoka also. No war at all in the world. He adopted it. That happened to be an impractical approach and proved to be a harmful approach. If you study Swamiji's literature, you will come to know entire India became weak after Ashoka's period, because violence is a necessity to protect the land from the other nations. Since he has dismantled all the army, India became very weak. Therefore, Huns came, Sultan, Muhammad, so many people came, and finally we end up with 1,000 years of slavery. And there is one more person who talks about ahimsa. Bhagawan Christ in the Bible, he says, if a person slaps you at one cheek, show him another cheek. If a person asks for your upper garment, give him all other garments also. That much of ahimsa you should follow. But same Bhagawan Christ, what he did, if you read Bible, you will come to know, another third day or fourth day, when he went to Jerusalem temple, he took one lathi and started beating all the merchants who were inside the temple, Jerusalem temple, such a holy place, you people are doing business here. He got angry, so he took to violence. So ahimsa should be understood in a proper way. In our Vedic culture, it is all fixed according to varna and ashrama. According to one's person designation, it is given. For all general people, ahimsa paramo dharmaha. But there are exceptions. If you are a householder, you have to protect your honor. You have to protect the honor of your near and dear ones. For a sannyasi, ahimsa is absolute. He cannot protect himself if anybody spits on him. For Eknath, ahimsa is okay. Not for Arjuna. For Kuchela, ahimsa is okay. Sudama, ahimsa is okay. Because they have gone beyond the worldly ties. For them, ahimsa is dharma. But for the grihastha, little bit of himsa is allowed, as long as they protect their honor. And for a king, it is a must. When he finds there are some people, hard nuts, you cannot change them. Like in a city, even in the creation it is there. Bhagavan has kept this working place called Bhumi, and Bhagavan has kept garden place like Evans, and Bhagavan has kept jails also, Narakas. And if you read Puranas, what are all the sufferings inflicted in Naraka? Very difficult to read. You will be fried in the oil. You will be mean that person who has done certain papa will be fried in the oil and he'll be scrapped with a lot of knives. So many other things are there. Why it is kept? To govern the entire universe, you need both. Garden also you need, music also you need, and here jail also you need. So himsa is permitted for certain people who happen to govern the society. And one person's duty cannot be others. Therefore, here Bhagavan says, hey Arjuna, swadharmam api cha avekshya. Even if you look from the standpoint of swadharma, your duty, na vikampitum arhasi. You should not waver or hesitate to fight. You cannot have misplaced compassion. Compassion is nice, but it should not be a misplaced one. Here Bhagavan uses swadharma. Swadharma, as I told, is an exception, vishesha dharma, for a kshatriya, based on his designation and responsibility, exception from the sadharana dharma. Sadharana dharma means ahimsa, satyam, brahmacharyam, aparigraha. These are all sadharana dharma. One should have self-control. One should not tell lies. One should always be having non-violence. One should not harm anybody. Since I don't like all these things, I should not do to others. But there are exceptions like this. Like traffic rule, everybody should follow traffic rule, isn't it? But there are exceptions for ambulance and president's car. You cannot say, stop. Follow the traffic rule. And one more example, in our tradition they used to say, somebody is violating traffic rule. A policeman has to catch. That person who is violating is going 80 km speed in the bike. The police who has to catch, how much speed he has to go? He has to go 85 km speed. Even though there is a board, speed limit 50 km. The police has to go 85 km. You cannot say, hey, he has done wrong since he has gone 80 km speed. You also have done wrong since he has gone 85 km. To catch a person who is doing adharma, who is doing himsa, you should take to recourse to the himsa also. Kshatriyasya, what is the reason behind this? Bhagavan here says, from the standpoint of swadharma also, na vikampitum arhasi. You cannot waver to perform your duty. You cannot hesitate to fight. You cannot have misplaced compassion. Why? Kshatriyasya, for a warrior, for a king, maintenance of law and order. Dharma yuddhat anyad shreyaha na vidyate. Other than this dharma yuddha, there is nothing better duty for a king. Maintenance of law and order is not the duty of citizen. It is the duty of certain selected people, not a duty of brahmana, not a duty of vaishya or shudra. But kshatriyasya, kshatat adharmat srayate iti kshatriyaha. The very definition for a kshatriya is kshatat. Kshatat means adharma. Kshatat adharmat srayate. One who protects the society from adharma is called kshatriya. You are a king. Since you have already tried all other methods, and this yuddham for dharma only, it is perfectly dharmic. Dharmartham praja rakshanartham cha. You should welcome this dharma yuddham and ready to sacrifice your near and dear ones. Now Arjuna's problem is not fighting with Duryodhana. He can fight happily with Duryodhana, but he had to fight with Bhishma and Drona, with whom he is having lot of attachment, whom he is considering as dear and near one, whom he considers as guru or grandfather. How can I kill? This is the illusion caused by attachment. Therefore here Bhagavan says, dharmyad yuddha, other than this dharma yuddha, other than the war for the sake of defense, other than the war for the sake of establishing the values in the society. Because Duryodhana happily violated all the dharmas. There are pancha patakas, they say. Atatayanaha. They are called Atatayana. Atatayana means shoot at sight. There is no trial at all. If you happen to see Atatayi, shoot at sight. And Duryodhana happened to be that person. One who puts fire to somebody's house, one who grabs somebody's wealth, one who tries to take somebody's wife, one who gives poison to somebody, like that, all these sins are called panchapatakas. All the panchapatakas successfully Duryodhana did. And being a king, nobody could question him. He was Yuvaraja, so nobody dared to question him. So everybody was supporting him only. Therefore, this yuddha to eliminate that one particular head and the heads which are connected with that person. And unfortunately, Bhishma and Drona happened to side. They have their own reasons for that. It is there in Mahabharata. So, though they are great Mahatmas individually, but as a person who has sided with the Adharma side, they have to be killed, and it is your duty as a Kshatriya, so you cannot hesitate. Na vikampitum argati. You have to ready to sacrifice your dear and near ones, your elders who are sided with Adharma. The rule is tejet ekam kulasyarte gramasyarte kulam teje gramam janapatasyarte atmaarte prithivim teje. This is one Dharma Shastra. Ekam taje kulasyarte. In a nice family, which is meant for all higher values in life, if you find one person is drunkard, this Dharma Shastra says, give him up, send him to forest. Kulasyarte ekam taje. He is going to spoil the entire kula. When Duryodhana born, he cried like a jackal, like a fox. Hearing this, because Dhritarashtra could not see. Hearing this, what happened? He asked. Our Vidura told, your elder son has cried like this. So it is not a good sign. Vidura told, first thing is, you should kill this child. If this child is killed, entire country will be a peaceful country. But Dhritarashtra told, how can I kill my eldest son? He did not see even child. But still there is an attachment. It is my eldest son. So repeatedly Vidura told, this child should be given up. Kulasyate ekam teje. And if you find a kula, a particular group, a family is against the welfare of a village, gramasyate kulam teje. Entire family should be destroyed. And gramam janapadasyate. If you find one particular village, Naxal affected village, terrorist affected village, here Dharma Shastra says, burn it. Don't see civilian or terrorist definition. Entire people, because they have given shelter to the terrorist. Why they have given shelter to the terrorist? Suppose a person is murdering, another person is giving support to that murder. Both should be punished. There is no innocence in that civilian mind. There is a support in that civilian mind for the terrorist acts. Here Dharma Shastra says, the entire village you burned. And Atma say, for gaining Atma Jnanam, here it says, Prithivim Tejas. An individual should give up the entire world. Therefore, hey Arjuna, as a king, as a judge, you cannot avoid your duty of punishing the criminal. It is your duty. A judge cannot say, oh, I am not able to give judgment. Why? I am not able to give capital punishment to this particular criminal. Why? He happened to be my relative or my son. If any judge says, is he qualified judge? So here Bhagavan says, in duty, there is no place for your whims and fancies. In duty, there is no place for your likes and dislikes. Just because you love some people, you cannot say whatever they do is right. You have to judge according to the norms, according to the social welfare. You are a king and it is your duty. Therefore, swadharma vicha avekshya na vikampitum arhati dharmyadhi yuddha sheyonyate kshatriyasena vidyate. Bhagavan is going to deal this subject of war, the subject of grief, from the standpoint of atma and anatma. You don't have any reason for your grief, for killing your dear and near one. And from the standpoint of dharma also, since it is your duty, you cannot have grief. And again he is going to come down. From the standpoint of gain, profit and loss, Like businessman is going to talk. From the standpoint of profit and loss also, this war is correct. You cannot have grief. At least to avoid ill fame, you have to do this Dharma Yuddha. More details we will see in the next class.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranadaklesha Nashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha.